You know, there was a time when I was really, and I don't mean this to say that I'm not anymore, but there was a time when I was really struggling. It felt like I wasn't, I don't know, doing the ministry justice, if you will, or wasn't doing it right, or felt defeated in a lot of ways, and the more I felt defeated about it, the worse it got, and it was like a snowball effect, and there was just, I can't tell you the date, I don't know the date, I don't know when it was or what happened, but the Lord had given me a message, and in the message, He told me something. He said, have faith in God, Marvin. Right? Because I'm over here worrying and fussing about everything. And basically, He's saying, have faith. Yes. Right? You get up there in faith. I'm not up here by myself. I'm not up here on my own. I'm not up here because I've went to school or have all the right words to say. And half the time, I don't know what I'm going to say before I get up here. And I stress about that, you know. I have my notes, but obviously if my notes aren't completely written out, and I don't know everything I'm going to say. And so it can get a little bit frazzled. I mean, but ultimately God said, have faith in me. I'm the one that's leading you. I'm the one that's guiding you. I'm the one that's asking you to get up there and do this. And so I need you to have faith in me. And that was a challenge. That was a challenge to me. And I'm still challenged today, not just in that area, but in other areas of my life where God is saying, have faith in me. Because I don't know about you all, but there's things that I face in my life that are bigger than me. They're outside my scope of ability. They're beyond my ability to intercede or intervene or to make things happen the way I feel or think that they ought to happen. I have challenges that I face that I'm not equipped to do it the right way every time, and I need God. And it takes me getting to that point where I realize that I need God. I need help outside of myself. It's just like, I mean, if you don't know how to do something, if your car is busted and you don't know how to fix it, you're going to have faith in Brother Dan with your car or somebody else. But you're going to have to put that in somebody else's hand and trust their ability, their skill, or whatever they know to get it done and get it done right. And I don't know if that's faith. To do that, you're trusting somebody else's ability. And that is what our faith is in God, is that we're trusting in His ability, what He's done, and the path that He's created. And it's basically us putting ourselves into His hands or putting our circumstances into His hands and operating in faith. So I have a scripture here in Matthew chapter 9. Chapter 9 and 27. We're going to read a couple of scriptures actually, but Matthew 9 and 27 says, and when Jesus departed thence, two blind men followed Him, crying and saying, thou son of David, have mercy on us. And when He was come into the house, the blind men came to Him, and Jesus saith unto them, believe ye that I am able to do this? They said unto Him, yea, Lord. So He asked him, do you believe that I'm able to do this? And they say, yes. Then touched He their eyes, saying, according to your faith be it unto you. And their eyes were opened, and Jesus straightly charged them, saying, see that no man know it. That phrase, according to your faith be it unto you. I don't know about you all, but that challenges me. When God tells me, according to your faith, be it unto you. That's challenging. Because sometimes I'm scrapping around in my mind, trying to get a hold of that faith. Because I don't know, faith is not hope. You can hope all day long. I hope a lot of things. But that's not faith. Faith is much deeper than just a hope. We can hope for a lot of things that never come to pass. And when they do come to pass, you think of it as an accident almost. And when you're asking God with a heart of hope, it's not really faith in God. It's just throwing yourself at His mercy, but you're not really knowing the ability of God, the power of God, His willingness to help in this situation. You're not knowing that. You're hoping it. I hope God will intervene. I hope God will answer this prayer. I hope that the circumstances will change. I hope that my ability to preach will be more effective, that people will be blessed by it and gain something from it. A hope. But it's different when I act in faith and say, I know that God can use my mouth. I know that God can use whatever I say and that He can cause it to be a blessing to you. Even if I blundered my words or misspoke of something or got a wrong scripture, God can somehow make it work for you still. And I can believe in that power and that ability that He has to do that. I pray that He wouldn't have to do that for you all. But I can have faith in God that He's going to make something happen for our good, for you and for me. And it's not hoping it will happen, but it's really believing that it's going to happen because I know God and I know what He asked me to give and I know what He's doing in my life and you know the Lord and you're here to hear what He has to speak unto you. And so you're operating in faith that God is going to give you what you need to hear. And it may be completely different than my topic today. He may give you something completely different, but it's God working in you and you operating in faith for God to feed your soul. And He's going to do that. And He's going to be faithful. And so I ask us, are we willing for God to say, let it be according to your faith? Because it's all by faith. If we're going to be saved, if our soul is going to be saved for eternity, it's going to be through faith. And it's not through faith in a hope. You know, I've talked to people and I've tried to talk to them about their souls and they hope that they'll go to heaven. But you know, that's not good enough. Amen. Hoping that you're going to get to heaven is not good enough. Because that means that you don't yet have faith. You don't have faith in what God has said. You haven't placed your faith in His plan of salvation. And you're not representing a life filled with faith. When you say, I hope. I believe in what God has done. I believe that Jesus Christ died on the cross to save my soul. I believe that that blood washes me and cleanses me and makes me whole. I believe in the power of the Spirit of God to live and to move into my life. That's faith. It's expecting it because God's Word says it. And we're taking God at His word. We're taking Him at His ability and power. And we're believing in all those things that pertain to God. Luke chapter 10. So Jesus says, let it be according to your faith. And we see the blind men obviously had faith. Because it says immediately their eyes were open. And they were able to see. And so that faith was represented and what was brought forth in their lives. So Luke chapter 10, verse 17. And the 70 returned. So this was after Jesus had sent out the 70, two by two, and he gave them a commission as to what they were to do while they were out. And this is what happens when they had returned. It says, and the 70 returned again with joy, saying, Lord, even the devils are subject unto us through thy name. So they were living on a high, if you will. They were on the mountaintop, and they were rejoicing at what God had done in their lives. They were sent out two by two to preach the gospel, to tell them the kingdom of God is at hand, and they're healing people, and they're casting out devils, and I forget all the different things that they were doing. I think we have a scripture right here, Matthew 10 and 8. Matthew 10 and 8. So this, again, is right after, or this is what he told them before he sent them out. 10 and 8. Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out devils. Freely ye have received, freely give. So that was the commission that he sent them out to do, and he told them a lot of things about how to do it. He told them to go into the people's house, you know, pray for the house. If the peace of God be there, then your peace will rest on the house. And he gave them a lot of information as to how they were to conduct themselves and how they were to go about this ministry of proclaiming the kingdom of God is at hand. But he gave them these specific things to do. And they went out in faith and they functioned in this. People were healed through them. People were cleansed of leprosy. People, I assume, were raised from the dead. We don't have any accounts of the disciples saying that they did that at this point, but that's what he sent them out to do. Cast out devils. And so they had done that. And so the reason why I'm bringing this up is because they had success in doing these things. They were able to achieve what God had asked them to do, and it was through faith in Jesus that they were able to do this. He sent them out, they did what he asked them to do, and they had success and were able to do what God had asked of them. So now let's go to Matthew chapter 17. Matthew 17 and 19. So this is right after the transfiguration. Jesus comes down, and there's a man with his son, and his son was possessed of a devil, and it thrashed him and you know, threw him in the fire, and there was nothing that anybody can do for him. And the man brought him to the disciples, and he proclaims to Jesus, and your disciples were unable to do anything for me. And Jesus responds, let me see. Yeah, 10 and 17. Jesus answered and said, O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him hither to me. And Jesus rebuked the devil, and he departed out of him, and the child was cured from that very hour. Then came the disciples to Jesus apart and said, why could not we cast him out? And I believe in another book of this same particular story, Jesus had addressed the Father. And the Father was the one that said, I believe, Lord, but help thou my unbelief. Is it Mark 9? We'll go ahead and read that part too, because I want to... Mark 9 and 23. Jesus said unto him, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. And straightway the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe, help thou my unbelief. And Jesus goes on further, and he heals the son, and then now we're back to where we were in Matthew, where they came to Jesus and said, why could we not cast him out? So first, When I think about this story, a lot of times when I think about it, I'm focusing on the man, the father. Jesus says, if you believe, it can be done. And he is showing his lack of faith and saying, Lord, I believe. Or basically he's saying, I hope it to be done. I hope you can do something. But it wasn't. He realized that it was a lack there. And there's times in my life when God is saying, let it be according to your faith, that I'm in the same position somewhat. And I'm saying, Lord, I believe you. I know that you're powerful. I know that you're able. I know that you have all these things at your disposal. But I can still feel somewhat of a barrier there in my faith that he is going to do it. That I know that he's going to do it. And it's getting beyond the, I hope you're going to do it. I hope you're going to intervene. I hope you're going to make something happen, to I know he's going to happen. I can see that it's the will of God and it's God's plan that he do this. And I can begin now to operate more in a faith in God in that particular aspect, if you will. So they're talking about healing, right? They're talking about delivering him from the devil. And Jesus, in verse 20, and Jesus said unto them, because of your unbelief. He told the disciples. They asked him, why could we not cast him out? And he says, because of your unbelief. But these are the same men that came back from a high mountain rejoicing and praising God that the devils were subject to them. And, you know, all the things that they were accomplishing through the ministry that Jesus had sent them out to do, they had victories. They had opportunities where they were successful in casting out devils. They were successful in raising the dead, perhaps, or cleansing the lepers and healing the sick. They had successes of it working. And yet here we are, and this man who brought his son, and he says, it was because of your unbelief. For verily I say unto you, if ye have faith as a grain of mustard seed. So that's basically saying, if you have any faith at all. And I believe that that's similar to what I've said already, is when we go from hope to faith, is just that little bit of ground right there, that once you actually step off into faith, that mountains can be moved. You shall say to this mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible unto you. You know, I'm not sitting here trying to say that name it and claim it kind of a thing either. You know what I mean? Where we get arrogant and that we think that we're going to command God and we're going to institute our will or our wants or our plans. And no. To be able to have faith in the operation and the power of God, you have to know that you're within the realms of his will. You've got to know that this is what God is wanting to do and what he's wanting to accomplish. And so sometimes we may have to get into prayer and find out what the mind of God is. What is his vision and what is his purpose and what is it that he's wanting to accomplish in this specific situation in life? There's many a scripture where we have his will perfectly declared. It says that he wills for us to be sanctified. That's not something that we have to hope that God will want for us, but he wills it. And we should know that he wills it, and we should walk in accordance to that. And that he wants me to be sanctified. He wants me to be holy. And I don't have to wonder about that or to, you know, fight in faith over that of whether or not God wants me to overcome this thing or that thing. No, he does. He wants you to overcome it. He wants you to battle it. It's according to his will. And so you can walk in faith, believing in the faith and the power of God to overcome that thing. Because it is in accordance to his will. And so he tells them it was because of their unbelief. So I was thinking about this and how many times Jesus essentially had said, not necessarily in the same phrase or with the same wording, but as you have believed, so be it unto you, or according to your faith, let it be unto you. And there was a story in my life where I had an affliction in my body that was basically, it was incurable, okay? And so it was like, okay, doctors or whatever, doesn't really come into effect, right? When there's something that is incurable or whatever, that's not even something that you would even imagine or think about, right? But I had this thing, and I knew that I had it, and I was sitting in service one morning, and like I was saying earlier, have no idea what the message was. We were singing songs, and during the song service, a song spoke to my heart, and God began to speak to me. And I got on my knees, and it was like that song was just reiterating in my heart and my mind, and it was just going over and over, and the Lord was talking to me, and He was communicating with me, and we were going back and forth, and before I knew it, the service was over. And the Lord had told me, He said, go up front and get prayer for healing. And this was in an environment where that wasn't something that people did normally. Okay, they pray for everybody to get saved every service, right? But they didn't pray necessarily for you to get healed. And so the Lord told me, He says, go up there and get healed. And so obviously I felt impressed. I felt like the Lord's sending me to get healed because He's going to heal me, right? I felt like the Lord was talking to me and He was maybe confirming it to me, or he was giving me what I needed to stand on in faith, and it was almost like the Word of God telling me in a sense. And so I did it. I went up there, and the man that preached wasn't one of the prison staff. He was another inmate that was preaching that day. And I just walked up there and I said, hey, I want you to pray for my healing. And his eyes bugged out on me a little bit, and he was like at a loss for what to do, but he went ahead and prayed. And I tell it this way because it didn't matter whether he believed it or not. You understand what I'm saying? I wasn't there based on his faith. I was there because of my faith. I was there because God had told me to be there. And so I wasn't depending on his faith. The man that we talked about that brought his son to the disciples, he was depending on their faith because he didn't really have it himself. And he admitted to not having it himself when Jesus addressed it to him. And I'm not saying that he did wrong in doing that. Sometimes it works that way, that a person gets healed in accordance to someone else's faith and not necessarily their own. But I went there in my faith, and he prayed for me, and the Lord healed me. I walked away with that assurance that God had healed me. And I didn't actually know the reality of that healing for years after that. There was a potential that it was still in my body, as far as I knew, you know what I mean? But I did not experience it, and I didn't really know for a fact that it was gone for years and years later. But God worked in accordance to my faith, based on the assurance of He had given me to go up and to be healed. And so sometimes it's just simply our faith that we come before God with. Mark chapter 5. Mark 5 and 25. And a certain woman, which had an issue of blood 12 years, and had suffered many things of many physicians, and had spent all that she had, and was nothing better, but rather grew worse, when she had heard of Jesus, came in the press behind, and touched his garment. For she said, if I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole. She's operating in faith. She's moving through the press. Nobody, I don't believe anybody else knows what she's doing or why she's doing it or what's on, you know, what her plans are or anything like that. I don't even believe that she was technically supposed to do what she was doing. Because she had an affliction, she should have been saying unclean and unclean, right? And straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. So she had confirmation of that healing before Jesus even addresses her. Before he even speaks to her, she has already felt within herself and through the knowledge of the faith that she had in God that something had already happened in her body. And then it says, and Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that virtue had gone out of him, turned him about in the press and said, who touched my clothes? And his disciples said unto him, thou seest the multitude thronging thee, and sayest thou, who touched me? And he looked round about to see her that had done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her, came and fell down before him and told him all the truth. And he said unto her, daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace and be whole of thy plague. She was healed because of her faith. Her faith. She was grasping a hold of the faith. She was standing on the promises of God. And because of the faith that she had, she was willing to press through the crowd to try to reach Jesus with all that she had. And she believed that she just had to do the bare minimum of touching just the hem of his garment. And she could be healed. And she was. And I have to believe that God had told her to do that. For her to have that faith or that confidence in knowing that God was going to do that for her. Acts chapter 5. Let it be according to our faith, right? And this isn't just about healing. It's about all aspects of our life that we operate in faith on. It's about the salvation of our souls, the trusting of our souls to God. The promises that he's given us in his word, that he's going to save us, that he's going to deliver us, that our sins are really washed away, and that we don't have to have the devil coming back and telling us, oh yeah, well what about this, and oh yeah, what about that, and no, it's under the blood. Jesus forgave me of all those things. And we can say, thank you, Lord, for forgiving me of that. And thank you, Lord, for delivering me of that. When the devil talks to you and he's trying to accuse you and he's trying to bring all these things up to you, you can begin to praise God and to glorify God. And so, oh, I'm so thankful that God forgave me of that. I'm so thankful that the Lord delivered me from that and that I no longer have to walk in that way of life again. Believe me, the devil don't want to be around that. Acts 5 and 15. Insomuch that they brought forth the sick. So this is, and believers were the more added to the Lord, multitudes both of men and women. And then it says, insomuch that they brought forth the sick into the streets and laid them on beds and couches, that at the least the shadow of Peter passing by might overshadow some of them. What were they hoping that was going to happen? If the shadow of Peter was to come by them, they wanted to be healed. Was there faith in Peter? I doubt it. if they got healed. But somehow they knew that Peter had a connection with God. Because of some of the things that Peter and John and James and the disciples had done, they began to have confidence in them and in their ability to reach God. And so I'm sure a lot of people came to them and sought for prayer from them and asked them to pray for them. And I think of Lydia, her friends had brought her to Peter and said, "Hey, Lydia is sick." And she was actually, I believe she was the one that had died, right? And he went and raised her from the dead through prayer. And it wasn't to uplift Peter in any way or to tell people to have faith in Peter, but they were having faith in God through the prayer of the person that they believed had contact with God. And so, like I was saying before, yes, we can have faith for ourselves. We can come before the Lord for ourselves, and we can reach out in faith, and God can touch us individually without anybody else being involved, without anybody else even knowing it. I believe that Peter, perhaps people were healed by him going by without him even knowing it, maybe. And it had nothing to do with him. It had everything to do with God and their faith in God, the people's faith in God. And so I don't want us to get away from that idea, but there are times when we call other people for prayer. Right? And I would venture a guess that you call the people that you believe or that you know are going to get a hold of God on your behalf. And you want them to pray for you. You want them to exercise their faith. Because you believe that they have faith in God, and you believe that they're going to go to God with that faith, and they're going to come to Him and seek His face for deliverance for you, or for intercession for your family member, or whoever it is that you're bringing forth a prayer. It's not saying that you're not praying. It's not saying that it's all on the other person. But we do call forth others to help us, to pray for us, to pray with us. And sometimes that helps bolster our faith when we know that others are praying, that others are in the trenches with us, if you will. And so sometimes we can be the instrument of faith for someone else. So let's look at Matthew chapter 8. Matthew 8 and 10. Well, maybe we should read more than that. 5. And when Jesus was entered into Capernaum, there came unto him a centurion, beseeching him and saying, "Lord, my servant lieth at home sick of the palsy, grievously tormented." And Jesus said unto him, "I will come and heal him." So here we have a man that servant is afflicted grievously with the palsy. I believe that is paralyzed. I don't know if it's unto death, if it's something that is you know, potential to cause a person's death. But he definitely wanted his servant to be healed. And he's coming himself in intercession for his servant. I don't recall reading anywhere in here about the faith of the servant, the belief of the servant. The servant asked his centurion to do it. I don't remember any of that. All we are addressing here is that this particular centurion had a desire for his servant to be healed, and he brings him before Jesus. And Jesus said, "I'll come and heal him. Show me where he's at. Let's go to your house," right? The centurion answered and said, "Lord, I am not worthy that thou shouldest come under my roof, but speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed." You know, Jesus says, "I marvel at this kind of faith." And when I read it right now, I marvel. I mean, he had Jesus ready to come to his house. You know what I mean? If you had faith in anything, I mean, that, you know, Jesus coming to my house, yes. But he's like, "You know, I don't even need you to do that. All I need you to do is say it. All I need is for it to come out of your mouth. And that's it. I'm good. And I really believe that if we can get a hold of God in any aspect of our lives, if you're struggling with anything spiritually, if you're struggling with something physically, if something's hurting you emotionally, that's affecting you in your life, I would hope that we could get to a place where we can get on our knees and bow before God and cry out unto Him like the father of that son and saying, Lord, help thou my unbelief. Just say it. Say the word. Give me that assurance that you're going to do this work, that you're going to work in my behalf, that you're going to follow through in this aspect, that you're going to intervene, and that you're going to help me. Just speak it to me. Just tell me that it's going to be okay. Tell me that you're going to walk me through this, and that's all I need. That's all the assurance I need. That's all the incentive I need to have faith and know to walk in that faith. And so Jesus did it. He said it. The centurion answered and said, Lord, I am not worthy that thou shouldest come under my roof, but speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed, for I am a man under authority, having soldiers under me, and I say to this man, go, and he goeth, and to another, come, and he cometh, and to my servant, do this, and he doeth it. When Jesus heard it, he marveled and said to them that followed, verily I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel. And I think about the message this morning of how Elijah passed through Israel to find the help that he needed through a widow woman on the other side. And Jesus is telling them again, I've not found faith like this in Israel. Here this is a Gentile person, you know what I mean? Didn't grow up in this, you know what I mean? Wasn't raised in this, but yet his faith stands. His faith stands in God, and Jesus marveled at his faith. And I say unto you that many have come from the east and from west and shall sit down with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. But the children of the kingdom shall be cast out into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And Jesus said unto the centurion, go thy way. And now as thou hast believed, so be it done unto thee. And his servant was healed in the selfsame hour. All we really need is for God to tell us. All we really need is for Him to assure us. You know, we sang the song, Standing on the Promises. You know, God has given us many promises in His Word of what He's willing to do, what He wants for us in our lives, and how He wants to bless us. Not just with abundance of material things or with a roof over our heads and food in our mouth. Yes, He's going to provide for His children. But He's promised us much greater things than that. He's promised us a peace that surpasses understanding. He's promised us fullness of joy. He's promised us love. And I mean, it just goes on in what God has promised for us to have. Through His Spirit, through His operating power in our lives and what He wants to give unto us. They're all over the place. He's already said it. We say, Lord, if You'll just say it. He's already said it. A lot of times already. In a lot of areas of our lives. And it's up to us now to say, I hear You, Lord. I see it in Your Word. You said that You would not leave me or forsake me. Your Word has said that. And I believe it, and I'm standing in faith on it. I know that You're not abandoning me. I know that You're not leaving me. And operate in faith. Walk in that. Because that's when it becomes no longer a hope, where you're sitting back waiting for something to happen, but you're walking in it because you believe it already. It already exists, and you're going to walk in it in faith. I pray that the Lord would help us to have that faith. And let's go to Acts again, Acts chapter 3. And I say, I pray that the Lord would help me have that faith. There's things that I battle with. There's things that I need God to help me to have wisdom and understanding. I need Him when I'm at a loss for what to do and how to overcome in this particular area. And I mean, I could just say, you know, there's often times where I feel like I'm at my wit's end trying to learn and how to raise my children and how to teach them the right things and how to do it in the right way. And where it's going to be beneficial to them, that it's going to strengthen them and make them into the men and women of God that my desire is for them to be. But I've got to have faith in God to do that. And I need to have His wisdom and instruction in my life to do that. And I need Him operating and functioning in my life to do that. And I need it not just when I'm at the altar praying or, you know, at home praying or I need it in action. I need it when I'm walking to be able to walk in faith in that, that believe that God is going to do it, right? Peter, in Acts chapter 3, verse 6, he says, then Peter, this is the man that puts out his hand and says, alms for the poor, right? Then Peter said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. I love that. You know how much faith that takes? For me to tell you that's been crippled all your life and you're at the gate crippled and you're begging for any kind of money to... This man didn't show any faith. This man's faith was that you had a dollar that maybe I can have. He didn't know what Peter was going to do. It was Peter's faith. I don't know. I can't whisper it. He maybe said it gentle where nobody else but him heard it, but I believe he said it with confidence. So much so that he began to pick the guy up. Get up off this ground. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And that is the confidence that I want to have to these monsters that are about me, these giants that are about me, that want to come in and want to try to overshadow me and want to try to beat me down and want to try to tell me that I can't have victory or that I can't overcome or that I can't beat the enemy or you won't win this battle or you're going to fail or just wait and see or whatever these giants or these beasts around us are talking about, that I can say no. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, I command you to depart from me. And to have faith in my relationship with God and what God's Word has said, that the Lord is going to do what I've asked Him to do. To work in my life and to cause my enemies to flee from me. So the challenge for us today, for me, for you, I hope, is that we will grasp a hold of faith. And God says, it's that much faith. That much faith. Going from hope to that much faith. Lord, help me to get a hold of faith. And whatever the battle is that I'm facing, and whatever it is that I'm up against right now, give me something to get a hold of faith in you. And again, it's not hope, but it's faith in the ability and the power of someone else. Like I said before, when you bring Brother Dan your car, you're having faith in him to do the work and to do it right. And when you drive that car out of there, you're having faith that he did it. Believe me, those roads are dangerous. So if he did something wrong or he missed a lug nut on your wheel or whatever, it could be some serious problems. Oh, the brakes. I forgot to put the brakes in that thing. Right? You're having faith in him that he's doing it the right way, that he's going about it the right way. And so we are putting our faith in God, who has ability beyond anything that we can even imagine. We're believing in his power, his ability to do the work. So pray for me. I want to have faith in God.